Welcome to the show, it's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here, let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online, it's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Streep Show. Welcome to the Brother Streep Show.
Hey!
Hello!
It's great to be here.
We're in a new here.
It is a new
Happy
here.
Happy new here. What do you guys think?
It's very good. We're in your
apartment.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah. You're on my bed.
I am on your bed.
Not for the first time.
Not for the last. But this is...
Andrew opted to not do the you and Andrew on the bed.
Yeah.
You wanted an extra chair.
It is interesting.
I've shared a bed with two men in my life, and I didn't want to make it three.
Okay. Fair enough. Were these two men at the same time?
No.
Because that would be uncomfortable. Three people in one bed is going to be an uncomfortable
situation.
Depends
on how big the bed is.
What do you mean it depends on where the bed is?
Yeah, depends how big the bed
mine's
is.
Mine's a queen.
Yeah, I think even on a queen or on a king, three people is just not going to be the best.
Andrew, do you have extra leg kind of attachments for your bed?
Well, it's not an attachment. I do have a king-size bed, extra length.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not like Claire, it's not like a ledge that you kind of drill onto the edge of the...
She
thing.
Must be, like, just swimming in space.
You know what? I mean, at first I think she thought this is too big.
Yeah.
But now...
She really stretches out.
Yeah. She's used to it.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
And I'm Andrew.
Andrew, so who were these other two people that you shared the bed with, and what was the circumstance?
One of them is hopefully a listener, is Hugh Lashbrook.
Okay.
That's good. That was before a trip to Namibia.
All right.
You might want to say that a little slower because Hugh, you know, famously listens at 1.5 speed.
Hugh, if you're listening.
We said slower, not deeper. Yeah. Okay, so Hugh Lashbrook and who else?
Dr. Miller.
Okay, I would trust Miller more in the bed.
Oh, no ways.
From what I remember of Lashies, he used to get quite sweaty. So
this is an interesting start to the podcast. I mean, I had some things to talk about, but I guess we could stick to this.
No, well, it's,
I don't remember either of them being particularly sweaty.
Because I feel like I try avoid situations where I have to share a bed. I mean, even in marriage, I was quite like, this is going to be a bit of a tough one. I quite like my space.
Yep.
And you do get used to it, but... when I have had to share beds in the past, I've always felt like very aware of the other person. And that just keeps me up. I may as well not be in the bed. I may as well just be up reading a book or something.
Yeah.
Who am I kidding? I don't read.
I'm a bit of a sweaty sleeper. I've got to have that control with the foot out the bottom, kind of out the side. My foot would never reach the bottom of your bed.
See, now I don't understand the whole foot out the bottom.
What? Are you not a foot out?
Is that like a pressure release valve? Like if you don't have that, you just kind of like completely greenhouse yourself.
Yeah, it feels that way. Sometimes you wake up with sweaty legs.
But it's just your foot. I mean, your foot isn't.
Don't you?
Getting
don't
rid of
you
that
find
much?
Like that all the heat in your body is controlled by whether or not your feet are warm?
No.
I do.
Oh.
You could walk around naked in a snowstorm, but if you got like nice boots on,
what?
You're like nice and warm.
It's true. That's terrible advice if you're about to go out in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
I doubt
they're listening to this podcast for their snowstorm advice.
I definitely do the leg out. I think the leg out's the only way to go. I would say though,
Oh, now you said leg out. Now it's more than a foot.
I do as much of me out as possible.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, there wouldn't even be the bed.
He just keeps himself slightly decent, pulling a bit of cloth over his loins.
Well, we already know that he's only top half by the time he gets into bed.
That's true. So I've done it, you guys. I've bought the thing I knew I'd always buy. And I hope you're happy. The Nathaniel saucepan. What did you think I was going to say?
Well,
there?
I mean, so we obviously know that it has changed your life, but to what extent?
Yeah. It's just, you know, sometimes you see a saucepan and you think, do you guys say saucepan or saucepan?
I say saucepan.
I'd also say saucepan.
Yeah.
Saucepan is the wrong thing.
No, but it's some people pronounce it like that, the English. People in Downton Abbey, I'm pretty sure they're saying saucepan.
That's when you take a pin and you dip it in your sauce to check if it's ready. Your saucepan.
Bedpin. I just thought, you know, I do need a new saucepan.
Okay.
And I've seen that there's, you know, Jamie Oliver's got a range. I know Le Creuset is very fashionable.
Can I stop you before you go too far ahead? Yeah. What is the saucepan again?
It's like
how's it different to a frying pan?
A frying pan?
A frying pan is short and shallow. I mean, wide and shallow.
Yeah.
Like a Smartie that's been pressed.
Okay. That's good. That's helpful. And the other one more like an Astro.
Whereas a saucepan is more like if you had to think of like one a of those bulk tin of beans.
Those endearments.
Oh, okay.
I've gone way off. Sweet analogy. Yeah.
You dropped it immediately. I'm thinking of an actual thing.
Okay, so it's
you might call it a pot. I would have called it a pot, you know, growing up. I'd have gone, okay, that's in a pot, that's in a pan. Saucepan is like, it's got a pan's handle,
okay.
But it's
and
but
how
it's
much
a pot.
How much sauce were you making that you thought I need a dedicated pan for this?
I make way too much sauce, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, I was thinking about my options. As I say, Jamie Oliver's out there. Yeah. Grisey, other ones are available. But really, who can you trust more than Nathaniel with your cookware? I mean, he's proven it. The guy who's on the search for South Africa's greatest Boerewors.
He's obviously also on the search for the greatest saucepan.
You've got to respect the man. Yeah, but the man can't... who's that committed to finding the world's best Boerewors. Yeah, that's right. The world's best Boerewors.
But I feel you trust a man in like his choice of braai grid. Not necessarily his choice of saucepan.
He's a man of integrity throughout his life. If he's that committed to that, he's obviously going to be committed to saucepans.
I just think Nathaniel's busy trying to put together, you know, the Afrikaans X-Men. Because he definitely could pull off an Xavier kind
Professor
of
Professor X. Yeah. That's right. We're slipping into hit or miss impressions.
X-Mana.
What happened was I bought the pan today.
This is fresh news.
Sure. It is very
Brand
fresh.
Pan King New.
And very nice. And I took it out the box and put it on the stove to just see how it looks. You know?
Okay.
It looks good. I'm happy with it. But I did suddenly think in my head, what if I wasn't happy with this pin?
Yeah.
do I still have the slip? Checking my pockets, I've crumpled it up into like a tiny, unintelligible ball.
It's not ideal.
Do you think people would still take it back? Do you think I could kind of unravel it? Sub question, how long do you guys keep slips for things that you're not sure if you're going to want to take back?
Pretty much don't keep any slips anymore.
Really?
Oh, maybe the bigger purchases, I might keep the slip and the box.
Because those slips are generally more impressive because they're longer. So you can show
also,
off to your friends.
I didn't used to keep slips that often, but I've had a bad bout of buying recently. With like shirts where you wear it and then you look in the mirror and it's like, oh, the shoulder's missing or whatever.
Where are you buying your shirts from?
Good places that shouldn't have shirts like that. So you have to go back with a slip.
Vinny's vests.
This didn't come with sleeves. I've got a box of slips, a shoe box that I'm now keeping.
That's a lot of slips.
Do you have the slip for the shoebox?
No, unfortunately not. I've got a bag of slips from Christmas presents for family members from last December.
All right,
you know, just in case in March they come up and go, listen, I'm I'm not actually happy with that small box of chocolates you bought.
Well, yeah, I'll ditch the slips. I'll give the slips the slip.
Okay,
because the thing
but you keep the box. I mean, it's got Nathaniel on it and his signature.
I don't know if I'd keep the box. I mean, it's probably not his signature.
It's his signature saucepan.
Do you think he signed every single box of...
Possibly. I mean, it's all over the box, and they all look exactly the same. He's very good at it.
I got hit by a car this week.
What?
What?
Yeah, I just got taken out by a car.
Oh, my word.
I survived, though. obviously,
right. Good.
I haven't sent my ghost in to do the podcast.
What happened?
Well, I was riding to work kind of in the cycle lane like one does if you're on a bicycle and there is a cycle lane. And as I was crossing one of the roads, this other car just turned into me.
Oh, my goodness. Like Transformers.
And so what I did then was I obviously leaned into the window, grabbed the keys, drove off and threw it into a bush.
Very nice.
It's a callback to a previous podcast.
It's a fun callback.
If you don't know the story, I can't even... point you towards the podcast it's in one of the other 27 podcasts.
Basically, somebody grabbed your keys and threw them in a bush and now you're getting your your own back.
No, I didn't do that. I was actually very polite because the lady
crashed into and you were polite.
Yeah, well, the lady felt very bad. Obviously, you could see she was quite shocked from what she had just done. It had been a minor crash. I hadn't fallen off my bike. I'd managed to somehow stay on the bike, which was quite good. So either
you were riding a tank to work.
Either it was a minor crash or I'm pretty much unbreakable.
Yeah.
It could be that. Who knows?
Movie reviews.
When last did I get sick?
last year. I can give you a list of the last 7 times you got sick.
Did you keep it in a shoebox?
did the person hit the bike or you? Like, was there contact with your person?
Well, kind of a bit of both, I think.
And do you have any bruises?
No. The thing is, because she was.
Are you going to call Michael DeBroglio's attorneys at law?
Probably not. Nathaniel impression.
No, that was a Michael DeBroglio impression.
Right.
Who's Michael DeBroglio?
You don't watch TV, so you haven't seen this.
I don't watch SABC2 during the day. No.
We can cut this.
So yeah. So I sort of let her off the hook, I guess.
Are you damaged in any way? I mean. What's happening here?
No, I'm not damaged. I thing is, it wasn't a very serious accident. I mean, it wasn't like we were both laughing. Like, going your way. It just wasn't. She was, because she was turning kind of a corner, I guess, at the time for her. That was her experience.
One turns quite slowly around.
Yeah, she wasn't racing around the corner in, I don't know. Well, there's Micro Machine things that you like so much.
Oh, I love it. That's another game I like to play. Before the podcast, Andrew asked me what games I play on my computer. I've got a decent computer, which could play fairly up-to-date games, but I decided to go way, way back.
Well, the classics.
Yeah, and play Micro Machine Races and the Pokemon on Game Boy.
Micro Machine Races was all about bumping the other cars into the corner of the pool table.
Yes.
That's totally what it was all about.
Or off the rulers on that one.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's hard.
I've played that game maybe 3 times on Dylan's assistance, and I would say that it's pretty rubbish if you've never played the game before. You basically just spend your whole time flying off a map. And I don't know, that's just not how I really like to I like to spend my time flying off my bike instead of flying off a map.
Tell me this about your bike incident. Did you end up walking into the sunset kind of pushing the bike next to you with the wheel bent such that it kind of didn't move without bumping each kind of rotation? Because that's the image I'm getting in my head.
And fortunately, that isn't how it ended. The bike wasn't really harmed any more than the bike was harmed before I got on it. My bike is kind of like a Frankenstein of a bike. It seems like it's been made by other bikes, tricycles maybe.
Yeah, and I had a look at it the other day because you asked me to try and help you fix the steering wheel, which was broken.
Ironically, not from the accident.
Yeah. I said steering wheel. It doesn't have a steering wheel. Imagine it had a steering wheel. And you've got super weird tires. You have tires that are the equivalent of like a kind of a balding man's hairstyle.
They're flat
on the top and like bushy on the sides. What's
the
going
Joshua
on?
Doors.
Yeah, exactly.
that is true.
Did you get hurt though by this accident? I mean, how are you feeling now?
No, once again, unbreakable. I am this generation's Bruce Willis.
It's funny I should ask because I'm in a lot of pain.
Okay, what happened to you?
Is it Paper a cut? Surf show? No, it is a surf show. Because I'm telling everyone. In case nobody knows, I have started surfing.
Okay. Your hair's a little bit lighter than normal.
Did you notice?
Yeah. Looking
sunny. And you're smelling a little lemony.
Yeah, you've been saying, hey, bra. Hey, bra, how are you hanging? That's how you greeted me today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm hanging 10.
Whoa.
Always. Well, you've been wearing Hang Ting t-shirts constantly.
Yeah.
And Billabong.
And sexy wax. But I'm starting to wonder if I'm doing something wrong because, you know, remember the fitness flyer? That thing that they advertised, and the whole point of it was like, don't run on streets, run on this thing because less impact to the joints.
You can't put the fitness flyer into the ocean if that's what you've been trying to do, catch away with the fitness flyer.
I just think, you know, the water is such a soft surface. It should be like a nice kind of fluid. It is fluid.
Yeah.
Form of sport or exercise, but so far I've had a surfboard to the thigh.
Whoa.
Not my own.
Own thigh.
So that's happened. I've had the fins of my own board kind of gash into my arm.
Oh, yeah, I can see a cut there.
Attracting sharks.
I was worried about that. That looked like it would have bled quite a lot. Were you worried about a little sharky coming up and giving you an extra gash?
I was, but there
were
so many other people further back. Jeez, it's hard to get to the back.
At Musenberg, it's really a case
thinking
of numbers.
Like,
safety in numbers.
The last time I went, I did get out to the back. Yeah. And I got there, it was like a different vibe altogether. It's like, it's very somber and quite serious and tense. Everyone's like looking around like, if one wave comes here, it's mine.
Yeah, and well, I thought it was more intense because you're like the barrier between the sharks and the rest of the people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, usually that's the case. I'm usually on the kind of shore side of that.
I see.
But I thought I'd try to venture out a little bit bit further. I've also had this this interesting thing. The first time I went out into the water, I was just in board shorts and everyone was in wetsuits. And I was like, ah, you know, wimps.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going out there. And a guy actually said to me, yeah, I feel like such a sissy. Yeah, I'm here in this big wetsuit and you're like fully not. And I was like, yeah, this will be my cool thing.
Somehow and then he saw you surf.
Yeah. Somehow I don't detect the cold and I'll be fine. And then it turns out that everyone wears rash vests and wetsuits for a reason.
Yeah.
And all the moles on my front have kind of been torn off. So now I've got this rash vest, which is flipping tight and does not leave much to the imagination.
Why did you buy the tight one? You don't have the slip to take it back.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those weird things where you go and you say to a salesperson, okay, this is the first time I've ever surfed.
Yeah.
Okay, the second, obviously.
And they sell you a Joshua Dore tire.
And they go, well, you could buy the rash vest, or you could get this neoprene vest. It's a couple thousand rand more. Or why don't you just get a wetsuit? Because then you can surf in the winter too, bruh. That's like 10 grand. So I'm like, I don't think you heard me. This is literally the second time I've gone in the water. I haven't even stood up yet.
That's one item of clothing that I really think they've named wrong, because it's really the anti-rash vest. And they call it the rash. Who's going to buy
that's
a rash
true.
Vest?
Yeah.
I'd like a rash, please. If I wear this, I'm going to get a rash. Thank you.
I can be found in streeping around.
Do you remember that time that you wrote a blog about those guys who wave flags on the side of the road?
Yes, yeah.
And thought that's a very silly thing. They could just put that flag in the ground.
Yeah. Have you gotten a job waving a flag?
I haven't, but I found a similar job. Okay. It's the ticket person at the booms when you come up to the booms.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I went to one recently and I thought, as I was approaching, I saw ticket people and I thought, yay, ticket people, this will be smooth. But they don't press it before you get there. What's the difference? I got there and I like had to say hello, and then they said hello, and I like kind of gestured for a ticket, and then they pressed it and gave me the ticket.
Yeah,
what on earth is the point of that?
Yeah, and like, what else are you going to do? You're funneled in your car. Yeah, you can't do any
U-turn.
There's
only one thing to do at that point.
Yeah,
it was very strange. I was wondering what the point of it was.
Well, but ticket people, there is a point, and not for people like me who have incredibly long arms, but for people like my wife who have slightly shorter arms than me.
Okay.
So sometimes it can be difficult. Sometimes she has to, you know, open the door.
Yeah.
It's like an extra step. But if there's a ticket person, no need. They're like a savior. They're like a guardian angel.
What if you've got
a
broken window?
Yeah.
That doesn't go down. No, this is worse.
Yeah.
So now you would have ordinarily opened the door.
Yeah.
Ticket person goes, nah, I'll sort it out for you. You still have to open the door to get
the
ticket from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very embarrassing.
And then you'd probably be, in that scenario, opening the door into the person that's trying to help you.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just trying
They'll
to get
take it as an act of aggression.
Yeah. They'd be like, why are they getting out the car? I'm just trying to give them a ticket.
Wiki, Wiki, what?
All right. Welcome to Wiki, Wiki, what? Where I'll pull up an interesting article on Wikipedia and get my fellow podcasters to fill in the blanks for points. That's right, guys. You're playing for points.
Oh, I love
points.
Yeah, Andrew, you don't often get to play for points.
Yeah, what's Andrew going to do with points?
I don't know.
He doesn't know how to use them.
I'm planning on starting a small point garden.
Okay.
Yeah,
like a kind of water-wise one.
Very much so.
Good.
Well, this week it's Andrew versus Dylan, and we'll start with an article all about animals with fraudulent diplomas. That's right. Wikipedia has a list for everything, and this is a list of non-human animals who have been submitted as applicants to suspected diploma mills.
Okay.
So basically, if you suspect an organization is claiming to be a higher education inquisition, but offering illegitimate degrees and diplomas for a fee, you can investigate the matter by enrolling your pet. I personally feel there are probably better ways to investigate a fraudulent company than
and
being
better like, places but, to send your pet.
But not more fun ways than getting a Tiddles an honors degree in philosophy.
I think in terms of investigative journalism goes, it's like if I suspect the person, you know, the car wash, the local car wash isn't washing cars, I'm not going to try coax my animal to drive into the car wash.
Send a dog through the big sponges.
But anyways, so, all right, let's quiz you guys. So Colby Nolan was awarded a degree in 2004 by Trinity Southern University.
Mm-hmm.
We can start with something simple. What type of animal was Colby?
Can I use my buzzer from the quiz?
Of course,
I've
you
got
can.
It right here. He was a dog, old Colby.
Old Colby was not a
beep,
dog.
Beep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colby, or a Colby sounds Colby. I'm going to say it's more of a kind of like a budgie.
Budgie, no, it's not.
Can we go with a cat then?
Dill, you're correct. Colby was a cat. You have 1 point. You're in the lead.
Wow.
He was a house cat.
Yeah.
What degree was he awarded? I'll give you a clue. It's a tough degree for a human to get, let alone a house cat.
Let's say medicine, a degree in medicine.
Not medicine.
Did he get a degree in mouths? Mouthematics.
That's good. I'm tempted to give you a point for a joke, but that's not how this round works.
Maybe something like rocket science, nuclear physics?
No, it's a bit more. I
slipped in two answers there.
Yeah, people you know have probably gotten this degree, so it's not quite rocket science. No.
Beep.
Like a law degree?
Close enough. Well, it's not very close. It's something to do with business.
A business degree.
I mean, yes.
That's closer than law, isn't it?
That is pretty good. I'm going to give it to Dill. It's an MBA.
Sweet.
Slightly more complicated than a business degree. All right. On the cat's application, according to Wikipedia.
They were just paw prints everywhere.
The agents claimed that the cat had previously taken courses at a community college. That he had worked at a fast food restaurant. Then he had done
Hungry Lion.
He had done two other low key jobs. What were they?
A dog walker.
No, but I like that.
Beep. Like a model on a catwalk.
Very good, but not true.
He was a cashier.
No, this is something that I used to
low
do.
Key. Beep. Like handyman.
No.
Something I used to do.
Yeah.
Copywriter.
No.
Catty writer. They stopped working after a while, the puns.
Yeah.
Beep. So
I'm sure we've talked about this in the podcast before.
Yeah, but we have terrible memories. So,
I mean, the cat didn't make monophonic ringtones, so what else could it be?
Comedy band?
No.
Beep. Data capturing?
Okay, no, I'm gonna tell you. He had a newspaper route, apparently.
Oh.
And he did something else that, Kerr, you might find quite helpful in your current situation.
Scout.
Babysitting.
Yes,
nanny.
He did babysitting. I'll give you a point, Andrew, for babysitting.
That's very good.
So yes, he babysat and, according to Wikipedia, maintained a newspaper route.
Maintained. I like that. It's not like they gave him one go and he completely stuffed it up. He's done this for weeks.
All right. So let's skip down the list to Sunny. Can you guys guess what type of animal Sunny was?
Sunny is actually a bird.
Okay. He's not.
Beep. Sunny sounds like a goldfish.
It's not goldfish.
Horse.
Not a horse.
Beep. Sheep.
Not a sheep.
Dog.
Yes.
why do we think it's more obscure than it is?
A dog.
Sunny the dog.
It's kind of weird. In this long list of creatures that have been submitted for degrees, it's basically cats and dogs. It's like they have completely underlooked the fact that a goldfish might want a degree in astrophysics. All right. So Sunny was a dog who obtained a medical degree from Ashford University. Can you take a gambit at what his work experience included? Something that would maybe help him get this medical degree.
Beep. Working at a clinic. I don't know.
Okay, think about what dogs do naturally.
Barking.
Yeah, no, not quite.
Beep. Urinating publicly.
Getting closer.
Defecating publicly.
Getting way closer.
Defecating privately.
Kind of, you know, knowing the neighborhood.
How do dogs greet each other? That's uniquely. There we go.
They put that as a reason.
Yeah, because it said significant proctology experience sniffing other dogs' bums.
That's brilliant.
All right, so there are loads of other cats and dogs who have degrees, but it's time for another article. Yeah. This is how Wikipedia gets you in like this. Just leads you down a path. So sticking with the non-human lists, here's Wikipedia's list of non-human electoral candidates.
Oh, my right. goodness.
Now, this list is surprisingly long.
Although, I'm just buzzing in early so that I have an answer, but I'll answer it to whatever your question is.
Surely a buzz resets after a while of silence.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so some quick examples from the list. I'll tell you about Boston Curtis. He was a brown mule who was offered as a candidate for the Republican precinct seat in Milton, Washington, in 1938. He won 51-0.
Oh, my word.
How would you, this is not for points, but how would you feel if you were one of the other candidates?
I'd feel like an ass.
Oh, very good.
That is good.
That's good.
I have no response better than that. Other than, wasn't the Republican kind of shield a big elephant?
Yes.
Why don't they just like elect an elephant?
And the Democrats is an ass.
Really?
It's a donkey or a mule.
Okay, I don't know that.
Ooh. Well, so that must have been even more hurtful to the other candidates.
I just feel what must hurt the most is like your political career, because if they do research and they realize that you lost to a brown mule, I don't think you're going to get to run for office anywhere.
No. That's a brown mark on your resume.
Another example of this is in August 2014, a 7-year-old Duke the Dog won an election and became the new mayor of Coromant, Minnesota.
True.
It is true. It wasn't the points I was stating.
Damn it.
I don't really know what the mayor does. I'm going to be really honest here. I don't know what Patricia DeLille is up to and whether it would affect me if I later found out she was a budgie.
Well, we know that she's going around seeing if people are using too much water, so maybe she's a camel.
Here's an idea to save water. Everyone just becomes camels.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. If we start now,
yeah,
we can start like hybriding human camels.
In the next
couple of million years. No more humans.
And then Wednesdays, everyone will love Wednesdays. Yeah. Hump day. That would be fantastic.
Your sister's like already half a camel, Alice.
That's true.
Well, I don't know about this.
What if you don't know about Alice the camel?
Alice the camel.
Oh, I see.
It's a song.
It's not. It's, no, she's it's not, just because of the name.
Reference
it's
to
just
how many humps she's had.
Yeah, no, she's she's not sporting.
She does have two kids.
Yeah. So question time. A group called the Yippies nominated Pegasus the Immortal as a candidate in the US presidential election in 1968. What type of animal was Pegasus?
Was it a horse that they'd kind of taped a set of wings onto on the back?
No.
So, beep.
Was it a donkey?
No.
A dog?
No.
Beep.
You're going to kick yourself when you figure this out.
Ooh. Kick yourself. Kangaroo?
No. Or it's Pegasus?
A Pegasus? Pegasus is a horse. I said a horse.
It's not a horse.
Beep. A Pegasus?
He was a Pegasus. Think about the first part, because you're hearing Pegasus, but I'm saying Pegasus.
I am kicking myself.
Okay, I'm going to give it to Andrew, because he seems super excited. He was a boar hog, so he was basically a pig. All right, the Yuppies had a sort of saying about Pegasus. Can you complete it? It was, if we can't have him in the White House, we can...
Beep. Have him in the brown house.
Have him.
He's a pig. He loves the mud.
Have him on a braai.
Dill, you're the closest. It was, if we can't have him in the White House, we can have him for breakfast. So I'll give that to you.
I'll take it.
This group was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct when they tried to have their nomination ceremony in front of the Picasso sculpture in Chicago. One of the campaign members said the policeman came to the jail cell and said, "You guys are all going to jail for the rest of your lives." What reason did he give as to why they're all going the rest of their lives?
Beep.
Yeah.
For public slaughter of an animal.
No, it was a reason to do with the kind of who let them up.
Who let them up?
Yeah. Who kind of sold them down the river.
The pig.
Yeah. But what did he do?
He spoke like Babe Pig in the City.
Close.
Beep. Did he just poop?
No, I'm going to give it to Dill because he's more on the right track. They said the pig squealed on you, you know, like father thing. All right, we've got one more animal. Let's move on to Macaco Tiao. Any guesses to what animal was?
Sounds like some kind of a tropical bird.
Excuse me,
the way you said it.
I beeped.
And yeah, that's true.
If anything,
yeah, no, that's true.
I know the value
it.
Of a beep. I was going to say a parrot.
He's not a parrot.
Is he a horse again?
No, I'm gonna give it to you guys. He's a chimpanzee, and he's actually from Rio de Janeiro. Before he was famous for being a candidate for mayor in 1988, what was he famous for?
Beep. He probably did some kind of remarkable act, like climb a mountain.
The chimpanzee?
Yeah.
What do you mean, climb a mountain?
I don't know.
That's not that remarkable for a chimpanzee, is it?
I mean, if I was a chimpanzee, I wouldn't go climbing mountains. Maybe a tree, not a mountain.
Okay,
look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong,
chimpanzee.
Okay?
You are wrong. I don't want to make you feel bad for being
did
wrong.
Did he smoke a cigarette?
Beep. Okay. No, he didn't. And
beep.
She's already beeped before the questions. He was in a zoo, and he kind of had a reputation in the zoo for being a certain way and doing certain things.
Flirting with girls.
Quite the opposite, really.
Beep. Throwing his poop at people.
Yes, okay. I'll give you a point there.
Yes. Listen.
He's very famous
for
that.
In some cultures, I think I've seen as flirting.
I think I've answered
cultures.
Poop for like five of the answers in this quiz.
He's like really popular in the 80s for having a bad temperament, example. Like being basically in a constant bad mood and having, as I said, the habit of throwing mud and feces on the visitors of the zoo, especially politicians that came to visit.
Pegasus.
So this is just a number guess that you have to do. What place did he reach in the election with 12 candidates?
Second.
Beep.
Third.
Completely right. He reached third place.
Yes.
And because of that, he's now in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most voted chimpanzee in the world.
Who wanted to climb a mountain but couldn't because he was in a zoo.
Don't try to get an extra point for that mountain thing. That's just never going to happen. Okay. All right. Very last question. When he died, how long did Rio de Janeiro mourn for? That's right. They mourned for him.
3 days, given his kind of third, coming third thing.
Beep. That's symbolic. Like 30 minutes.
Dill got it right first time.
What?
Yeah.
Well done.
3 days.
Yeah, I'm not used to hosting the quiz, so right. I should have come in and said you get it, and then you just, you know, you beeped in and said a guess that was just not really worth it.
It's
really
annoying, isn't it?
It's a waste of a guess.
Happens on the quiz a lot of the time.
Waste of a guess. Dill, yeah, they mourned for 3 days. I would have thought 30 minutes. I wouldn't have thought that you would spend 3 days doing that. But at the end of this round, I can declare that Dylan has 6 points and Andrew, sadly, only has five. So, Dill, you've won.
Hooray! Well done.
That was Wiki Wiki What?
Would you rather?
Welcome to Would You Rather. That's where I've asked the internet some Would You Rather questions. And by that, I mean I've looked for some existing questions and found out what people would rather. I would like you to tell me what you would rather and then what you think the internet would rather too.
Okay, sounds good.
Do you get the gist of it?
Yeah.
It's quite simple. Would you rather be inside on the hottest day or outside on the rainiest day?
Very interesting.
What do you make of that?
How rainy and how hot are we talking?
Rainiest and hottest.
So, geez, I don't even know if I've... I mean, I don't think I've experienced the hottest day or the rainiest day ever in my life.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely wouldn't be... Wouldn't
do you think
want
it's relative? It's the hottest day you've had or the rainiest day you've had?
No, I think it's the rainiest day. We're talking floods. It's getting critical.
I think it's going
to
be...
I definitely wouldn't want to be inside my house when it's completely full of water.
Yeah. Well, wait, no. I think if it is literally the rainiest day, if it's like you see someone leading animals in two by two into the ark, and you're like, there's definitely not, you know, I know where this is going. Mm. You don't want to be outside.
You do want to be. You don't want to be in the house.
That's
not
the option.
You want to be going onto the boat.
I don't know if you want to.
Well, I'm saying outside.
I'm saying I'd rather
outside on the rainiest day.
Yeah.
I'd be warm inside. I think I'll take that, even though... Yeah, no, I'll take that. I think it's safer.
You guys are thinking of, like, pleasant, a drizzle or quite a warm day. This is the hottest day.
Yeah, but on the hottest day ever, you're still inside and, like, there's less to harm you. On the rainiest day ever, you could probably drown.
Yeah, that's true. You will drown.
I can swim.
And what do you think the internet says?
The same thing, because I believe sometimes they're intelligent. Not always, but sometimes.
Yeah, I think they'd want to be inside on the hottest day, because they all have air conditioning.
Ah, you see, the internet always comes up with a little loophole. You're right, 52%, a whopping 52% would rather be inside. Huh. Okay, here's one. Would you rather have hair flowing past your knees or be bald?
Is that like knee hair?
Would you rather be a gorilla man or bald?
Climbing a mountain or Nathaniel? No, I guess it's just your hair from your head. And don't come in with this, oh, I'd have that and then I'd just cut it and have normal hair. That all the time.
I think I'd go for bald. I think that that kind of hair is like a huge hassle.
Yeah, I might go for bald as well, because
I've always wondered what you'd look like bald.
I know for a fact Christine didn't really like it when my hair was like slightly longer than it is now. When I went through like a longer hair stage, basically.
I remember.
It was a good stage. I enjoyed it.
You look like Jim Carrey looks now.
Yeah, it was a good stage. But she was like, oh, never again. And so I'm pretty sure if I came home and I had hair down to like my ass, she'd kind of be like, I don't know.
Do you know her feelings on baldness?
I think she'd be sooner, like quicker to... Well, she can write in. No, don't just tell me. Yeah. Don't just tell me when I'm at home. Write in and let me know, wife.
And you can always just wear a cap, you know.
And what do you guys think the internet said?
I think the internet wanted hair, though. I don't think they wanted to be bald.
I think baldness.
Interesting. A split vote. Mm. A split end vote. Because of hair. It's 65% leaning towards hair.
No, the internet is wrong.
I know the internet.
Think it through. I'm going to do one more.
I was on the internet today, so I know all the answers.
Okay.
Would you rather, this is an interesting one, you got to really think this one through. Would you rather only eat bananas 6 days a week or never eat pizza again?
I'm going to go for never eat pizza again.
Wait. only eat bananas six days a week. So
on that seventh day, you can have anything.
Okay.
Including pizza. Okay. Obviously, you'll be like, you know, stuffing your face full of pizzas on a Sunday, I guess. And then back to the old Monday bananas.
So it's not just like you have to have a banana with your meal.
No, it's just only bananas.
So,
it's a banana diet.
I mean, apart from the potassium poisoning, which will happen, and you will get sick. Apart from that, I don't like bananas, so it's easy for me.
Yeah,
easy.
I feel like I could probably find things that are close enough to pizza to keep me fine.
So never eat pizza again.
Yeah.
And you, the same. And
yeah, but I think the internet is extreme enough that they would rather eat bananas for 6 days a week.
So imagine that cheat day, though. That'd be amazing.
You'd probably get sick, though.
They have voted 54% for never eat pizza again.
Oh.
Yeah, they've come down on the side of sanity.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, I never said I never said what the internet said, so I'm going to go for that one.
That's very clever of you.
Beep.
That was would you rather. But, you know, I know what I'd rather do.
Ooh.
I'd rather listen to this.
The quiz.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's quiz time yet again.
Hooray!
And
I'm really
this
amped.
Week we are sticking with the show hosts, and we're going with Stephen Colbert.
Ooh, I watched him today.
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Ooh, I watched him today.
He's the former host of the Colbert Report, and he's the current host of the Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
What did you call it?
Report. They wanted it to be pronounced that way. Are you?
No, I think it is because it's a silent T for Colbert, and so it's a joke that it's the Colbert Report.
Have you heard somebody say that out loud?
Yeah.
So round Steve 1 Colbert is the first question, and these are sort of facts about Stephen Colbert.
Uh-huh.
And
are there any cameos in this? Because I've got one in the holster.
I don't think so.
Darn. Then I'm going to know nothing.
Question one is, he is the youngest of how many children? Closest
Beep.
Answer will win. Simon.
Four.
Three.
Wow. Well, Simon wins, but
oh my
he's
word.
Miles off because it's 11.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Hectic.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's real.
That's just irresponsible parenting.
His parents are Catholic. His family's Catholic.
No Connies.
So question two is, during his adolescence, he briefly fronted a cover band called A Shot in the Dark, but which famous band did they cover?
Beep.
Simon.
They covered Paul Simon, basically Simon and Garfunkel.
That's incorrect.
Pink Floyd?
Is incorrect. It's a rock band, very, very famous.
The Beatles.
I think Dylan buzzed, but you're incorrect.
The Beatles.
The Beatles is incorrect, Simon. It's an American band. Is it incorrect? Older?
Beep. The Beach Boys.
Is incorrect. Younger?
I can't
Simon?
Think of other bands right now.
American band. Yeah.
Beep Metallica.
The logo has like a tongue, I think.
Beep.
Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones.
Dylan buzzed second, but he was right. So
thanks.
Well done.
Okay.
It's the Rolling Stones.
I'm not sure that they're an American band.
Are they?
Isn't
Mick Jagger
British?
No idea.
I thought he was American. I apologize if he's not. Question three. Stephen Colbert is an avid fan of which fantasy author's works?
Simon. Terry Pratchett.
It's incorrect. Dylan.
J.K.R. Rowling.
Yeah, I think Tolkien. It's going to be that. Damn it.
J.R.R. Tolkien.
Is the right answer, Dylan.
Yeah.
I'll give
Darn
you that.
Darn it. Darn it. I knew it.
As you ended around halfway through the initials.
Typical Catholic being fans of Lord of the Rings. I should have knew it. I should have.
Question four. Why did Colbert prefer that his children not watch his show, The Colbert Report?
Beep.
Simon.
Because of the bad language?
No, but it is to do with language. Dylan.
Because they speak a different language.
No. No.
It's the way, because of the good
it's
language?
It's about no, it's Simon knows not. It's by the way he talks.
They didn't want to pick up bad habits. He doesn't talk well. They know one talk too good.
Beep.
No, that's wrong.
They feel like they wouldn't respect him after they saw him clowning around.
No, that's incorrect, Simon.
The right answer.
So I can't give it to either of you. The correct answer is he said that kids can't understand irony or sarcasm, and he didn't want them to perceive him as insincere. So, yeah. Okay,
you know
round
what?
Two.
If I'm honest, I'd have given Simon that. Of his weird answers.
Okay, thanks. Well, let's do
respecting
that.
Respecting him less or something.
That's very generous.
You've given
of you.
Points for less connected answers before.
I will remember that good sportsmanship, Dylan.
Thanks.
Okay, round two is whose tweet is it anyway? And we're going to be looking at
it's pronounced Colbert.
We're going to be looking at three Steves today. Stephen Colbert.
It's pronounced wee. You don't say the T on either side of the tweet.
Whose wee is it anyway? With Stephen Colbert, Steve Martin, and Stephen Fry.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So here we go. Here's the first tweet. You need to tell me whose it is. And if you buzz first and you get it right, you get 2 points.
Ooh.
So, or if you're the first person to get it right, you get 2 points. So, it can be okay to meet your heroes.
Beep.
The astounding hashtag Mel Brooks, and then a picture of a person with Mel Brooks.
Beep. Simon. I think that's likely to be Stephen Fry.
Okay.
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, and the correct answer was Stephen Fry. Simon, you were correct.
Yes.
And so you get...
How many points do I get for buzzing in second and wrong?
I'm sorry, you get no points. The second tweet is, walking out of work on a Friday like, and then a gif of that BBC broadcaster whose kids come into the room.
Beep.
Yeah, Simon.
Stephen Colbert.
Okay, Dylan.
Stephen Fry.
Stephen Fry. The right answer is Stephen Colbert. So
yes.
Simon gets another 2 points.
It's the BBC that threw me.
I'm getting the twos.
Okay.
Well, make sure you leave the room.
The third tweet is Big Bang Theory is fake science. I'm told, with an extra D, Sheldon doesn't actually have a PhD and his real name is Jim. Bad, in brackets, or sick guy. Exclamation mark.
Beep.
Simon.
Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
Steve Martin.
And the correct answer is Stephen Colbert. Simon is getting quite a
I'm
few
not convinced that any
here.
Of these are going to be Steve Martin.
Well, you say that.
Okay, and the fourth tweet is, the drone I just bought on Amazon was delivered by a drone.
Steve Martin?
Beep. Who do you think it is?
I'm going to go for Steve Martin. He hasn't been at all, like, present.
It is Steve Martin.
Yay!
Okay.
And I get 4 points for that.
So the third round is finish the...
Steve Martin.
Finish the surname.
Quote. The first quote by Stephen Colbert is, I can't prove it, but I can...
Disprove it.
You buzz first, Simon.
Disprove you.
Is incorrect.
I didn't buzz at all.
You didn't buzz.
I can't prove it, but I can... Feel it.
Ooh, I think it's going to be beep, believe it.
It's incorrect, but it is something simple like that.
See it?
Sounds like that, but no, sorry, Dylan.
Be it?
Be it?
No, not rhymes.
We it?
Not rhymes with, sounds like.
Watch it?
No.
Hear it?
No, it's something that Stephen Colbert does a lot of.
Present talk shows.
Simpler.
It.
Is incorrect, Dylan.
Say it.
Is the right
say
answer.
It.
No, well done. I dialed up there.
Okay.
This is world.
It's a very comfy bed.
Here's the next quote. Thankfully, dreams can change. If we all stuck with our first dream, the world would be overrun with...
Beep. Mice.
It's incorrect, Simon.
Pilots. Airplane pilots.
Is incorrect, Dylan. I'm going to give you a clue now. It's something that kids might want to
beep.
Be or play.
Clowns.
Simon,
cowboys.
You're incorrect. Is the right answer, Simon?
Yes.
Well done. That's one of them. And there's
clown,
another
cowboys.
One for an extra.
Robbers.
This is what... that was boys and girls.
Beep.
Native Americans.
No.
Air hostesses.
Incorrect. What
beep
girls?
Barbie.
No, it's incorrect, Simon.
Nurses?
No, this is more fanciful, Dylan.
Beep princesses.
This is the right answer. Well done, Simon. And the last one is, isn't an agnostic just an atheist without
a spine?
I'm going to give it to you. It was balls. So, yeah.
Got it.
Right. So, round four is distant relative.
I had a lot of ball pain recently.
And the distant relative is Catholicism, which will be fun.
Ooh.
Typing in fun fact about Catholicism in Google is always fun.
Yeah.
So, the first one is, the Catholic Church spends more money than which large American corporation brings in? So, Dylan.
McDonald's.
Incorrect.
Burger Simon. King.
Incorrect.
Google.
It's incorrect. Right line.
Yahoo.
Beep. America incorrect. Online.
Incorrect, Simon.
Facebook.
Incorrect.
Beep.
You're going down the wrong line, Dylan.
What?
Beep.
Ask Jeeves?
No, this is a big American
Disney.
Corporation. You probably have a device.
Apple. Beep Apple.
Is the right answer, Simon.
Yes.
The Lucky. Second question is, the Vatican's largest export is what?
Beep. Holy water.
Incorrect, Simon.
Those hats. Papal hats.
Papal hat. I'll give you a clue. That's incorrect. It's to do with postage.
stamps
is the right answer, Dill. The third question is, Pope John Paul II snuck out of the Vatican more than 100 times to do what? And I'll give you a clue. It's athletic and it's kind of cold.
Beep. Cold?
Yeah.
Beep. Ice hockey.
It's incorrect, Simon.
Snowboarding.
Beep. Ice skating.
I'm going to give it to you. It was skiing. That was close enough.
That is similar, just at one big ski.
Yeah. And the last question is, how many saints are recognized by the Catholic Church, and the closest 1,000 wins? Dylan.
3,000.
3,000.
Beep. I think it's going to be 7,431.
Well, that's not the closest 1,000, so I have to give the point. No, I'm joking. The Simon wins. It was exceeding 10,000. They're not 100% sure.
Oh, okay. They're not 100% sure.
No. So, yeah,
it's not a very good list. What they should do is write all the names down, keep it in the shoebox, and then you need to get it.
Well, I can reveal at the end of that Simon has won the quiz with 13 points to 8. So, well done, Simon.
Guys, new year.
I thought I did worse than that.
You did well.
I'm going to win all the quizzes from now on. I've pasted it. Well, guys, that's all.
I'm playing the long game. It's a long con. Let you feel like you can win the quiz by winning every quiz. And then right at the end, I might win one.
That's very good. Well, that's all the time we have. We are sorry that this is a short podcast than usual. We ran into some issues with the sound.
It's true.
And we would say we promise you the normal length one next week, but maybe we won't. No. Who knows?
Even shorter.
Yeah.
Get used to the short format.
Eventually, you'll be downloading just 1 minute of us talking.
Just going, hey. Okay, that's enough.
We've run out of time.
Well, right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. Bye.